Follow me in Chapel Bible, there's one near you. We're looking at Luke chapter 2. You can also use an internet-ready device. So Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. I'm going to miss a couple of verses out in the middle and save them for later. So just keep your eyes if you're following. It is deliberate, not an accidental omission. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Saviour was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." When the angel had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Well, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word is truth. Would you bless it to us now? May we hear through the lips of a mortal man, immortal words from you, our Father, eternal words of spiritual truth and blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Three words to guide our study this morning: action, attitude, and augment. So we're looking at the angel's song, and we've got the action and the attitude and the augment. If you're one who writes notes, there you go. If you've never spelled augment before, A-U-G-M-E-N-T. I've been in trouble before for using words that people don't know. I will explain it later on. I hope you all know what it means, to be honest. But A-U-G-M-E-N-T. Action, attitude, augment. There we go. That's where we're going. So Luke presents the action here as a series of contrasts. I think that's to highlight what's going on. You know how if you put a bright item on a dark background, it stands out. And that's what he's doing. The angels, angels, glorious special messengers from heaven. They meet the shepherds, ordinary, humble folk. Do you get the contrast? Do you see how the attention is being drawn? When they come, they bring the reflected glory of heaven into the darkness of an out-of-town hillside before anybody invented those horrible electric lights that mess up the night sky. Yes? Yeah? Do you get that? No light we have ever created comes close to the Shekinah glory of God, my friends. And it came to that dark hillside. What a contrast. And the shepherds begin outside of town and would probably have not had much to say or been particularly welcomed with their news when they came into town. But at the end of our account, everyone wants to hear their news. Everyone is amazed when they hear their news. They are suddenly the talk of the town. They go from outside, if you will, to the inside. They were certainly not quite outcasts, perhaps, but outsiders. Now everyone wants to hear, and everyone is amazed when they hear what they have to say. What a set of contrasts. What a set of contrasts. So the action is presented as contrast so that we notice the uniqueness of this moment. So that we don't miss it. So that each and every aspect of it is drawn against a dark background. So as we see these angelic messengers, we see this light in the darkness, we see lives changed. What a contrast. And perhaps the problem for us today is that Christmas, the real Christmas, is lost in our traditions. And I say that knowing that most of our traditions have been thrown right up in the air and have come crashing down in COVID, haven't they? But the fact is, we can still lose the real meaning of Christmas in that pile of presents under the tree. Grateful as I am for whatever I get when I open them later on today, and I am genuinely, however grumpy I look, where are you, family? That's not the real meaning of Christmas. The real Christmas has everything to do with the state of heart and mind, the actions I intend to take, the ones I will not take, today and tomorrow and next year, as a result of this light in the darkness, this glory revealed, this life-changing account. Who's in charge of my life? Who rules my life, me or King Jesus who's come down? That's the challenge, that's the contrast, that's the action. The action is in contrast to show us this unique moment. God the Son came himself to call his people back to himself from the selfish direction they're going in. That's what John 1 says. That's the action. And the action has a profound effect on the shepherds, and especially their attitude. When I read before, I left out verses 13 and 14 deliberately to highlight the attitude of the shepherds, to go quickly from them hearing the message to them responding to the message. You see, the word of the Lord came to them, and despite it being scary and frightening, they listened, and they worked out there was a sign for them to see, and they went and checked it out. That's the attitude. The result is, of course, that their faith is strengthened and their actions become much bolder. But here's the challenge for us. Is that our attitude today? Brother and sister in Christ, isn't this a message for me that I'm just letting you hear? How is your attitude? How is my attitude to the word of God today? Am I bowed before it, so that when the word speaks, I get up and go and do what it tells me to do? Seeking the sign, reporting the work of God, declaring his glory in the way that the shepherds did. That's the attitude I need. I do wonder, I read this story, and you know, we know that our historians only put in the bits that matter, so something else happens around it. And I always wonder if there was a shepherd who didn't go to Bethlehem, because his name would probably be Gaius. He'd be the one who doubted and said, "You go, I'll stay. Someone has to look after the sheep." I think his name would be Gaius. Plain procrastination. A lazy attitude towards the word of God. Leaving the sheep untended would have been a dangerous thing, personally and financially. They may have lost. But I think Luke implies they all went. He makes no mention of the flocks left behind, so I think he implies they all went. They couldn't have asked for angelic help because they all left, but I do wonder if the glory of the Lord rested on that hillside for a while. The Shekinah glory of the Lord that causes the lion to want to lie down with the lamb, not to eat it. That would fit for me with the story. I don't know. But I do wonder what attitude I would have had. And I do wonder if I would have trusted in the revealed word and the glory of God. So it seems they were of one mind. I think we ought to be of one mind, brothers and sisters. Seek the sign that proves the word of the Lord is true. I wonder if we have that attitude. I wonder if some of us are hearing the word. We'll never hear God speak if we never open his word. We'll never see the signs if we don't go where he sends. But if and when we do, then we know an augmented life. When we have the attitude of the shepherds, we receive great blessing. For what greater blessing can there be than all who heard about what had happened being amazed? Isn't that a glorious thought? That as you go and say, "God has done this in my life. God said this, I did this, he did that." People will say, "Wow." The action is in contrast to show us this unique moment. God the Son came himself to call his people back to himself from their selfish direction. Is he calling you today? The attitude needs to be get up and go and prove that the word that God has given is true in my life. Believer, do we have this attitude? Will we have it this coming year? And finally, the augment. I wonder if you've heard about augmented reality. Tech companies want you to believe that holding up your phone and letting it put an arrow on you to send you to the booze aisle in Sainsbury's, or holding it up and letting it drive you down and take the right junction off the M1 to get to Grandma's is augmented reality. Now look, it's great. Technology like that is helpful, okay? But I want to talk about a real augmented reality now this morning. I want to talk about something which is really, really augmented, wonderfully augmented. Listen to this. Listen to this augment to this moment. Listen to how the writer, you know what augmentation is in music? It's when you take the melody and you slow it down and you stretch it out and you give it emphasis and you give it power and you give it majesty. And this is what Luke does in the middle of his reading. Suddenly, there was not just one angel, but there was a multitude, a plethora. That's where we get the word plethora from the Greek. A multitude of the heavenly host with that angel, praising God and singing, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favours. Now, my friends, that word host means army, it means organisation, it means that there were parts of it. That multitude didn't come like a rabble, they came with parts. They sang not just with four-part harmony, I imagine there was a multitudinous harmony. They sang antiphonally, one singing and then the other. It was a glorious moment of praise. That's what Luke does for us. Right in the middle, he augments reality in this wonderful way. The veil between heaven and earth is ripped away. That's what happens here. These guys on the hillside, these ordinary shepherds, see the very heart of heaven, the nature of heaven, the glorious light, the praise, the wonder, the peace. It's the Jewish scholars years ago who named this sort of manifestation Shekinah glory. The Bible has many aspects of it. Moses goes down up, because it goes up the mountain, meets God, comes down from the mountain, and his face shone with the reflected glory of God that everybody who looked at him said, look, cover it up because it hurts to look at you, because that glory is so bright. The pillar of fire and cloud is the Shekinah glory of God revealed in public before his people. A visible manifestation of the glory of God. Jesus at the transfiguration before the three apostles. Stephen at his martyrdom. Christ at his ascension. I see the glory. Heaven, the veil is torn back and we see the glory. I wonder why we don't translate that host word as army in our Bibles, because that's actually the Greek word, it's for army. I'll tell you why I think that we don't. Because we don't understand that an army can be for peace. And we don't understand that an army can fight with peace and create peace. But that's the limit language here, that's the image here. This army comes and fights with the praise of the glory of God and makes peace. In its very act of fighting, it makes peace. Its very act of worship, it brings peace. So we don't use the word army because I think we get confused by it. But you know what? Even that was predicted in the Old Testament. And if you want to read and enjoy a little pre-image of this moment, go read 2 Chronicles 20. And the account of Jehoshaphat's battle with the Moabites and the Ammonites, and how he prayed, and how he sent out ahead of the army the choir, and the choir sang the praise of the glory of God, and the army never had to draw a sword. Because the praise, the army of the praise of God, who proclaimed the glory of God, ends with the peace that God brings. This army of angels is an army of peace. Peace is the result of their presence. We are told that there were many of them, not the whole host of heaven. I think 1 Thessalonians reminds us that that will be when Christ returns. We get them all then, but there was a fair few. Well, let's just look briefly as we draw to a close at the angel's song itself. Yes, we're finally there. I know that was the title of the sermon, but we're finally there. Verse 14, two sections. The first tells us that heaven is singing. And I suppose the question for us is, have we joined in yet? Do you get this? Heaven is singing. When the curtain is drawn back, what do we see? We see heaven singing the praise of the glory of God. I don't know about you. I think it's what matters. What matters to us through COVID, didn't it? It really hurt that we weren't able to sing as freely and as openly as we wanted. This is why. Because heaven is singing. One of the commentators, one of our friends, says, it's with a song in its heart that heaven sent Jesus to earth. I love that line. Just think on that for a moment. It's with a song in its heart that heaven sent Jesus to earth. That's what we read here. Yeah. Heaven is singing as Christ comes. Heaven is praising the glory of God as Jesus Christ is born. Can you catch the melody? Can you hear the harmony? Will you let God augment your life in this way today? And the second line speaks of what follows. When the glory of God is praised on earth, peace is the result. Peace first between God and people, men and women, boys and girls. That's a spiritual thing. That's a solving of the sin problem, the bridging of the gap between us, the removal of the stain that's on our lives, that's the result of our actions, the result of our inheriting Adam's sin. Peace. And that's why the phrase says to people he favours. Because tragically there are many people who refuse the favour of God. There are many people who remain at odds with him. They look at this baby Jesus and they see a nice man, a wise teacher, a myth of history, an excuse for a party once a year. They won't admit that they need to be made at peace with him, that they need their sin dealt with, that they need their hearts changed. They're happy with the reality they already have. They don't want it augmented, thank you very much. But my friends, this other reality, this augmented reality, is so glorious. I don't understand why you wouldn't want it. I think you should try it. But when we do, when we can, when we accept the favour of God, then peace reigns. And this is what's being offered to all people. Verse 10 makes it clear the offer is to all people. The Saviour, the Messiah, the Lord is available to us all. This one who heaven is singing about, this one who brings the offer of peace on earth, he has come for you. And the only question is today the day when this song starts to be sung in your heart as well? Is today the day when his favour will now rest on you? Is the angel's song beginning to make your heart miss a beat, to cause your voice to ring out in praise? Are you ready to accept that Jesus is the greatest gift ever given? And that this song of his heavenly praise is going to ring in your life from now until eternity. You'll live the truly augmented reality. That's the offer of Christmas. And I'd be delighted to help any and everyone to move on in it today. We've got a little book, a gift, that looks at songs in the Christmas story and might take you further. Please take one home with you today. Please chat with me after the service. Talk to a friend, a Christian who can help you. Understand the action is in contrast to show the uniqueness of the day. It'll never happen again. Christ has come. See the attitude of the shepherds responding in faith. And understand that when we do, we can know the one and only truly augmented reality. Father God in heaven, thank you for what you offer us in Jesus Christ. We thank you for this unique moment in history when you came. You entered this world, your creation. We thank you for the way the shepherds show us the right attitude of response to the word
And we pray you would augment our reality and help us to go on in faith. Fit us for heaven, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.